be the application. And the application is that final verse that Sarah read for us. Verse 28 of Luke 11. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and who obey it. Blessed are those who hear. I want to learn to read his word, to hear his word. I want to learn his word and obey it. Not just hear, not just head, not by. I want to learn to obey it. In other words, the conclusion, the application is, you want to hear the sermon, I want you to hear the sermon, the Bible being read, I want you to go home and put it into practice. As my mother used, and as your mother probably said, be good. That's what he's saying, be good. Be good Christians, do as you're told, do as the Bible says. That's the, well, in... So you can go to sleep now if you want, but for those who want a sermon now, in a nutshell, I will just tell you, Jesus performs a miracle that Sarah read for us. He heals a mute man, a man who couldn't speak. The crowd are amazed, and a woman in verse 27 got swept up in the emotion of what she'd witnessed, and she shouts out, bless the Lord, blessed are you, blessed is your mother, blessed is the one who nursed you. And Jesus gently pulls her back in. He said, yeah, but it's more blessed to hear the word of God and obey it, and obey it. It's not saying emotion isn't good, but he corrects her. He said true blessedness is found in, not in shouting out, bless you, Lord, but in obedience to the word of God. The story is, if you've got your Bibles, we're going to follow it through verse by verse. In verse 14, Jesus heals a man who can't speak. He's mute. The Authorized Version, the old Bible, says he was dumb. I don't know if that's politically correct to say that today, but he was dumb. He couldn't speak. He couldn't speak. And it says in verse 40 that Jesus drove out the demon that was causing him to be. Now, whilst it's true that medical knowledge wasn't very advanced, clearly this dumbness, this muteness was associated with demonic powers. It was associated with the devil that was causing him to be. I know there are some ministers who don't believe in the devil. When I was a minister of Appledore in the 70s and early 80s, we used to have a minister's, they probably still have a minister's fraternal, where all the ministers of all the denominations got together once a month, once every 2 months, and they would discuss things and pray, and I only went twice. Well, there was a good reason for that, because I was a full-time milkman anyway, so I couldn't. But anyway, that's another story. And I went to one. I made a point of going to it because it was the bishop, and I'm not sure if it was the bishop of Exeter or the bishop of... Does Crediton have a bishop? It was the bishop of Crediton back in... Oh, I've identified the dates now, haven't I? But anyway, and I went to this meeting at Northern Rectory, and it was the Alan Fleetwood was there. Those who remember Biddeford Baptist, Alan Fleetwood was there, and the Bishop of Crediton spoke. Sorry, I'm giving you an aside now. And as we came out, I said to Arthur Neal was there, Minister of Westwood Old Baptist, and I said to Arthur, I said, "What was all that about?" He said, "I've no idea." I said, "I don't think I'm going to bother coming to this again." He said, "Neither am I, Alan." So Arthur and I used to meet ourselves once a month. We used to meet together and pray for Appledore and Westwood. But Arthur Neal, there was a man who was into demonology, and he wrote books about demons and everything. And I know there are some ministers who don't, but clearly Jesus believed in demons. And Arthur Neal encouraged me to... I'm not into demonology, I've got to confess that, but I did a series of Bible studies I was minister of Appledore Baptist, and we had a Tuesday night Bible school, and for 5 weeks I did a series on demonology and demons and devil and demonic activity. And one of the one of the women, Betty Smith, for those who remember Alan and Betty Smith, she said to me at the end of the fifth week, she said, Mr. I was always Pastor Thorpe, never Alan back then. In fact, even now sometimes it's, oh, hello, Pastor, and it's still Pastor, it still sticks. And she said, Pastor Thorpe, she said, we never knew much about the devil till you came. She said that, didn't she, Betty Smith? I remember that. We never knew much about the devil. Well, he drove out the devil, and it says, verse 40, the crowd were thrilled. They were amazed to see such a miracle, a changed life. We don't know how old this mute man was, but whether he was young or older, his life was changed. He could speak. The crowd were amazed. What a wonderful... However, some, verse 15, in the crowd, Matthew, when he tells this story in his gospel, he says it was the religious leaders, the Pharisees. They said, well, to heal like this, he must be in league with Satan. That's how he's done this. He's it's black magic. That's what he, if he's casting out demons, he's doing it by the power of the devil, by the power of demons. In other words, they tried to discredit him. And they said, he's not. He's a demon. He's. When we moved to Bristol, there was a... Like in Biddeford, there was a town mission. In Bristol, there was a city mission, three churches. Two of the ministers didn't get on. And in City Road, for those who know Bristol, is where the street girls work. And the prostitutes work in City Road. And one night, one of the ministers was going home. There was a diversion, and he had to go through City Road. And he actually saw the minister, his rival minister, of this other city mission church, under a lamppost, talking to a couple of these street girls. Fuel for the fire, we can discredit him. And he did. He discredited, he said, do you know, he failed to say that on the other side of the road was the minister's wife talking to the street girls on that side. He just assumed, and he tried to discredit him and said, he's an inferior motive. This, he did that to William Gladstone, the Prime Minister, four times Prime Minister of this country, the Liberal. It wasn't the Liberal Democrats, it was the Liberal. He wanted to bring out a bill for fallen women, as it were. But they tried to discredit him and to bring him down. A character assassination, and that's what these people were trying to do with Jesus, to assassinate his character and say he's a demon. He's driving out demons because he's possessed. In fact, he's driving them out using the power of Beelzebub. Beelzebub. Take some saying that, Sarah, doesn't it? Put your teeth in. Who's Beelzebub, for goodness sake? Beelzebub. Well, we meet Beelzebub in the Old Testament, actually. There is a reference in I've written it down, 2 Kings chapter 1 and the first three verses. We discover that Beelzebub is the name of the Philistine god Baal. It's another name for Baal. And the name means Lord of the Flies. All right, Lord, we've heard the title, Lord of the Flies. The devil, Lord of the Flies. There is a footnote in the Bible that says it could be Beelzebub, Beelzebul, B-U-L, not B-U-B to end, which means the Lord of the Kingdom, the House of Windsor, the Kingdom of Windsor, the Lord of the House, the Lord of the Dwelling Place, the Lord of the... I've looked in the actual Greek, and it is Beelzebul is the proper, the original word. But anyway, that's just to let you know I've read the books, that's all. But it's by Beelzebub, it's by the Lord of the Flies, it's by the Prince of Demons, it's by the Lord of the House, the Lord of the Kingdom of the Power of the Air. That's how he's driving out this mute demon. They were slandering him, in other words. Verse 16 says, others wanted a sign from heaven. I don't know what they expected, whether a cloud formation or a thunderclap or something, and a... They were just saying, well, give us another sign. We're not content to see this man life completely changed, that he couldn't speak and now he can speak. Oh no, we'll give us another sign. They weren't satisfied with that. It's not enough. Well, verse 17, Jesus knew their thoughts and he knew they were just going round in circles. They weren't. So he spoke to them and he said, what you're suggesting, that I'm working for the devil, that I'm in league with the devil, he said, it's absolute nonsense. It is illogical. There's no logic in it. It's like two men moving a piano. Have you seen the Chuckle Brothers? One moving it this way and one moving it that way. It's illogical. If I'm working in league with the devil, I'm working against the devil. If I'm driving out devils by the power of the devil, where's the logic in that? And you know, as another aside, I found that there are some people you cannot reason with, that they will... You might have a family member, a husband, a wife, a child, a son, a daughter, and you talk to them about the Lord, and they will not. You just cannot reason. You just cannot. We have a girl at work on the railway years ago, Bridget. And Bridget, I probably told this story before because it was so memorable. I was in work one day, and the station master said, Alan, he said, we've just had word that Bridget's brother has died. Will you go with me? And there were no mobile phones. I'm talking 30, 40 years ago. We'd better go down to in lost property in Temple Meads and tell her. And his last exam at university. And as they were celebrating their last exam, it was over. Their studies were over in that part of their careers. And they went out for a little game of football, a knock around of football. All right. And on the football pitch, he just clasped his heart and he died before he hit the grass, before he hit the turf. 23-year-old, young, fit lad. And I went to see Bridget, and it wasn't just that one occasion, several times afterwards. And Bridget always said that, and she's laughed about it since, but she always said, you know, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in your Jesus. I don't believe in your God. But tell me, why has God allowed my brother to die? I don't believe in him, but tell me why. There's no logic to it. That's probably a bad illustration because it was a serious... But you see what I'm saying? There's no logic. And this is what Jesus was saying. It's going to be a divided kingdom. A divided kingdom will be a ruined kingdom. It will be a ruined house, a ruined Beelzebul. The prince of the kingdom will be divided against himself. The house will be... It's illogical. And then Jesus gives another argument, another answer. He says, if I'm driving out demons by Beelzebul, by Satan, then by whom are your people driving them out? You see, there were exorcists in Palestine. There's always been exorcists, people who can heal, if you like, who can exorcise. The historian Josephus tells us about them. King Solomon was he had the power of healing. He was a very clever man, King Solomon, and he used herbs. We've got two doctors in the house. I don't know what they think of herbalists, but... tell us, what do you think of herbal? But you see, King Solomon says this. I know what Doc Martin thinks of him, but anyway, that's another story. If you go out walking on Abbotsham Cliff and you sting yourself with a nettle, what do? Get a dog leaf. You get a herb. And you've driven out the sting. You've driven out the devil. You've driven out the injury. And that's what Solomon, he was able to... herbs and very clever, very... I could tell you a story about some comfrey. Have you heard of comfrey, the herb? It's supposed to be good for breaks. I will tell you now I've started because it's a good story, this one. When I left Bible college, I worked in the Christian Endeavour holiday home in Torquay, and with the hostess there, we were driving. She lived in Edinburgh, really, or Torquay, but her family were in Edinburgh. And I said, well, take me back to Barnsley then in the car, Vauxhall Viva. And she said, yeah, that'll be all right. Aye, that'll be all right. So we went. And we got to, there was no motorway back then, this is in the 60s and 70s, and we got to, we got to Banbury Cross, Oxford. It's a straight road, just turns by the football, Southam football field, and there is a telegraph pole right there, and guess what? Nessie fell asleep, and we hit this telegraph pole, it landed right there, I was the passenger, and I woke up in Warwick Hospital, been out for about 5 hours, and broken ankle. That was the end of my football career. I could have been out there in the... Anyway, medical knowledge was such that... I'm saying medical knowledge. I opened the letter, actually. They gave me a letter when they released me, and it said, Oscalcis anterior superior border. There's the name of the bone, isn't it? And it was broken. And they said... My grandfather used to have some comfrey in his garden, this herb. And he said, if you put that in boiling water, put your foot in it and just heal. It'll just heal. It'll help with the healing process. And then Jackie came up. We weren't married. This was Bible college. And Jackie came up to see me. And we got this process going. And because it was my girlfriend who was bathing there, and my grandfather looked and he said, that's the wrong ankle, Alan. Anyway, there we are. That's a, I bet it's the wrong foot. I'd better see where I'm going now. Oh, I know. Jesus said, if I'm in league with the devil, what about your healers? By whose power are they healing? Doing the same thing. If you condemn me, you're condemning yourselves. I'm reminded of school days. In school days, we always used to have an assembly, and then at the end of the day, in little school, we'd have a prayer at the end of the day. And I remember Judith Scott. She put her hand up after the teacher had said the prayer and said, please, miss, Paul Goodall had his eyes open in that prayer. Did he? How did you know, Judith? And this is what Jesus is saying. If I'm doing, what about your people? How are they healing? If we're all... No, he says, verse 20. He says, I'm driving out demons by the power of God. But the finger of God. Your arguments are illogical. They're unreasonable. My miracles mean that the kingdom of God is present, not the kingdom of Satan. And that makes sense now when we read verse 21. When a strong man guards his own house, Beelzebub, his own kingdom, when a strong man, there's no problem for him. But verse 22, when someone stronger, me, Jesus, when someone stronger, the kingdom of God comes, Satan is overpowered and defeated. Jesus is stronger than Satan and sin. He that is in you is stronger than he that is in that. Jesus invades Satan's territory, Satan's kingdom, Satan's Beelzebub, Satan's dwelling place, destroys his armor and claims his spoils. And he asks in verse 23, he says, are you with me in this? Because if you're not with me, you're against me. You can't be neutral. So see what happens. Well, the evil spirit is expelled and wandered about seeking rest. He couldn't find any and decides to return to the man from whom he'd been expelled. And it says in verse 25, when he arrived back, it found the house swept out. The man was healed. It was clean. It was put in order, but it was empty. It was empty. And what we're saying is it's not enough to drive out the evil. Good has got to come and take its place. You've got to fill a man with something. This morning I actually sneezed about four times following, and I'll not tell you what my family said, but what do you normally say when someone sneezes? Bless you. Bless you, Uncle. I've got a sleeve lint. Bless you. Do you know, I Googled that because I knew what this passage was about. Do you know, it was interesting. You say bless you because Pope Gregory the First, All right? 14th century said that when you sneeze, you expel your soul and you have to say, God bless you, for it to go back. God bless you for your sneezing. Don't say what you were told to me, stop sneeze. Anyway, there we are. Ben's got a colleague, Liz, and Liz is an alcoholic. And she she'll never listen to this, but because that is her name. But she turned over a new leaf. She stopped smoking, for example, at least 17 times, hasn't she? And started again. But she's an alcoholic. Because that's all she thought about. Drink, where's my next drink, where's my next? And then she joined the running club. And that's all she thinks about now, running club. And on her Facebook, I've made this, Ben will tell you exact, but she says on her Facebook page, I have not had a drink for 4 years, 2 months and 13 days. Something like that, isn't it? Because now, the alcohol, and she's filled it with, she's filled her life with running. She's climbed Everest twice. Was it last month? What was the name of that Dartmoor thing? She did the Dartmoor Iron. Escape from Dartmoor. She was the female winner, wasn't she? Because that's what she goes to Snowdon every once a month, to the Brecon Beacons, onto Dartmoor. She's running, she's doing these Iron Man, Iron Woman things, because something has taken its place of drink. But this man didn't. He didn't have anything. And so verse 26 says, the demon went back and takes seven other evil spirits with it, and the final condition of that man is worse than it was at first. You cannot be neutral. It's not enough to drive out evil. Good must come in. Whilst all this is happening, a woman, verse 27, gets carried away with it all, and she shouts out, bless you, Lord. Bless the mother that conceived you and fed you and your best thing since sliced bread. And Jesus pulls her back very gently. He doesn't deny there is blessing in shouting out, bless you, but he points out to a bigger blessing. And he says, blessed rather, there's a little, it's a particle, it's only used four times in the New Testament, that word rather in the Greek. And it's used in a corrective sense. He said, it's not wrong to shout out, bless you, Lord. But let me correct it and say, it's better still to hear the word of God and not to get carried away with what you've seen. Emotion is good, but true blessedness is in obedience. It's not how you feel, but what you do. I know some have got to get away, but I will just tell you this, because on a Sunday night sometimes I would go to Westward Ho Baptist. It's not against Westward Ho Baptist, by the way, because I watch other programs and we go to Westward Ho Baptist. And a couple of years ago, I was there, and Gwendy was there, and Trevor was there, so a couple of years ago. And there was a woman there, and I think she had, I don't know what you'd describe it, ballet leggings on, ballet tights. And she was pretty good, though, wasn't she? She cocked her leg right up here, and she was pretty good. She had a big banner she was waving. She nearly took Trevor's head off, didn't she? She was going with this banner, and she was jigging round. And there was another man, Andy saw this man. I don't know what he was. Was he swimming the channel, Andy? He was doing like this, and then he was going like that. There was a woman sat down there. She was just knitting. Well, it was all happening. She brought her knitting. And the band were playing 17 times the same. the same. Probably is against me. Sorry, I shouldn't. You're missing the point. And then with that, they said, and now Pastor Tim is going to come and read the Bible and speak and preach. And five people got up and walked out. Tony Short got up and walked out after him. And as he come back in, I said, I'll see you after, I'll tell you after. And so I saw Tony Short afterwards, and I said, what's to do? And he said, oh, he said, they only come for the thrill of it. They didn't want the Bible. They just wanted the emotion of it, the fix of it, if you like, their religious fix. They didn't want There'll be some tonight watching the England football, won't there? Tomorrow morning, whenever it is. And there'll be a lot of emotion. There'll be a lot of shouting and flag waving and shouting and all the rest of it and dancing around. But remember, and with this I am going to close, remember verse 28. Jesus said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Not get carried away with the emotion, but hear the word of God and obey it. So when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word,